win, and the Lakers did win on Saturday night. Had an overtime victory on a goal by Stephen Perfetto. And I think there's a lot of good things right there. For one thing, Stephen Perfetto trying to get some more goals piled up here, and he's got four of them now, which is really nice, but a big game winner, and the coach joins us now, and that was a big win. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's much nicer doing it that way, you know, that first home win and then the tradition of ringing the bell. It was great. It was great for our guys, you know, and once again, a good response. We gave up the tying goal late-ish in the third, and again, we could have, you know, folded our tents a little bit or sagged a little bit, but I thought we got right back at it and had a great video session today, mostly on Saturday, this game. And, you know, the response we had, a minute 22 left, we won a face-off, D-to-D, hard indirect up, touched it deep, 200 feet from our net. Like, our habits on that night were very good. Now, Friday, they were very poor. So it was, you know, you wonder with kids' preparation why, how you can go from a Friday night performance like you do to Saturday night. So there's still inconsistency and frustration, but it was really good to see that. You know, our habits were very, very good Saturday, and we've got to be that way every single night to give us a chance to win. And so it was real positive for our team, and our kids enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I think that's the first time this season we've rung the victory bell outside after the game, and I understand even you got out got in on some of that.
Well, I didn't get to ring the bell, but, you know, I'd never been part of it.
Outside.
So, yeah, I did get out and saw it, and that was great. You know, the fans were excited. It was a good hockey game, good tempo, good pace, and obviously, to win in overtime is certainly an exciting thing. So it was a great tradition to take part of, and you know, we'll be doing that a lot more for our fans to celebrate with our team.
What you know, Saturday night's game was a lot better defensive effort by Lake Superior than Friday night's game. In fact, there were a lot of things that were better than Friday night's game. But 7-5 loss on Friday night, kind of a shootout game where you scored a couple goals late, and made it a contest. Saturday night, just close checking, and nobody wanted to make a mistake, and of course they get the first goal, and then you come back and tie it up on the big goal in the third period. In fact, that was just a huge goal. Is that kind of what made it become an up and down? It turned into it went from a defensive game to an up and down hockey game.
Yeah.
After that Schmidt goal.
Yeah, and I thought Friday was even a little misleading. You know, like, you know, obviously we watch it back as a staff and spent a lot of time breaking that down, and you know, it was a bit more of a situation of pucks going in the net. You know, we actually had a great start to the game. I thought we controlled it. But, however, you got to add in a face-off goal against that, you know, Kevin would want back. The puck went right underneath him. And so, you know, you're ready. You're dialed in. You have a good start, but then you give up a soft goal. And then just some rush goals again. So, whatever reason, you know, and both sides. It was their goaltending as well. Pucks went in the net both ways on that night, and that happens sometimes. So, I don't think we were as loose as I felt after the game watching it back. You know, you're not quite as frustrated because you were better than you thought. Just pucks went in the net for both sides that night. But certainly Saturday, you know, I don't think we were worried about making a mistake or tight or anything like that. But that's the way we want to play. We want to be great defensively. We want to be relentless all over the puck in all areas of the ice and limit our time defending by forcing turnovers and shutting plays down. And I thought we did a very strong job of that throughout the game, really. But certainly that early part, we didn't give much up. And, you know, that'll be even more important against the high-flying, potent Mankato team coming in this weekend.
Yeah, we'll talk about Mankato here. They won two games for Michigan Tech over the weekend. I want to hit a little bit on the Johnson-Ciotti-Schmidt line. I thought they were outstanding in the third period on Saturday night. They were pretty steady the whole weekend, really. But they were really good in that third period, especially kind of disappointed. And I think we talked about that on here. You disagree with me, but Matt Johnson hasn't played like Matt Johnson can play, but he did in the third period on Saturday night. I thought he was just outstanding.
Yeah, well, I thought Matt Johnson was very good for us early. It was a surprise for our staff. Didn't know a lot about him. Thought he was playing well. Then he had the injury. Cost him, I think, 2 weeks of hockey. And, you know, we talked as a staff. We thought Chris Ciotti came back from missing 9 games, I think it was, and looked like he didn't miss a beat, where Matt only missed 4 games or maybe 2 games, and he looked like he did miss more time. So, you know, it was a little bit of adjustment coming back from injury and game pace. Matt actually texted me after the game Friday night saying, "Hey, coach, can we watch shifts in the morning?" And I just said, "Hey, Matt, it's a game day. We can watch a couple things, but let's worry about preparing for tonight." And so he wasn't happy with his game Friday night. He knew he wasn't quite where he wanted to be. And even early the first period Saturday, he wasn't quite there. And then it started to come for him. And he was very good along with that line. So they've got chemistry. You know, they've got some size with Johnson, protect the puck. Obviously, Bryce Schmidt has had a great year for us. Chris coming back in has poise, has skating ability. So they've really had good chemistry. And the thing I like best about the goal is I think Roy out there, and somebody mentioned at Con maybe that they come to practice every day, and if we work on every day, pass off the pads, wide entry, wide speed, shoot for a rebound with guys crashing. Schmidt didn't allow his hands to be tied up, so it's what you work on every day, and that's nice to reaffirm those positive work habits.
Yeah, I thought that was the big thing. Is Matt made a great play. He had a little crossover play there, and he fired it off the goalie's pads, and it came right out like it does in practice, and Schmidt buried it.
Yeah,
and that's a big goal.
Yeah, and Schmidt won his 50-50 battle. Like, I mean, you're driving the net. Obviously, their defenseman's trying to box you out, tie up your hands, take away your stick, and Schmidt kept his stick free and outworked their defenseman for you know, just a rebound goal you bang home, and that's what you need to be successful.
Yeah, another guy who played really well for you on the weekend, you mentioned him a moment ago, is Chris Ciotti. He's got 4 goals this season. He scored those in the last 4 hockey games. That's pretty good production. Last season, he struggled all year. He had 1 goal for the whole season. He's got 4 so far this year. He had 2 on Friday night in the loss, but he had a big goal for you on Saturday night. He's played really well.
He has. You know, Rich Mitro mentioned that after practice, that he had 1 goal last year. And we knew coming in, he was a guy that we had to find his old form. If we were going to be successful, we needed that freshman year, Chris Ciotti. I think he had 12 goals that year, maybe sophomore year. So we need that from Chris. And he's been a shot in the arm. I mean, he to see how hard he worked through the injury was unbelievable. He'd come off drenched every day. So I know he worked really hard to try to maintain that game conditioning and that game edge. And he's done a good job with that. He's got poise. He's got skill. You know, we had a shift, 4-on-4 with him and Perfetto out there just dogging the puck and being relentless and turning it over. Mm-hmm. If you remember, that was Chris's other great scoring chance in the second period, and maybe he gets another goal. But he's done a very good job for us and very welcome back to our lineup.
Well, he stands 4th on the team in scoring with 5 points. 4 of those are goals, which is huge. But the biggest thing to me, if you look at this team, there are a lot of minus players on it because we give up a lot of goals and we don't score that many. But Chris Ciotti's a +6.
Yeah, not easy to do, like you said, when you look up and down the lineup and you don't have a lot of that. And, you know, and probably not shocking where we're at with playing 4 or 5 freshman defensemen and freshman goaltenders and, you know, being offensively challenged. It's tough to get those pluses. And, but we got to flip those around. If we're going to have success, we got to get that to the other side of it. I've got one other guy who had a good weekend. If you want to talk about it now or wait a little bit.
Go ahead.
All right. Jimmy Roll just announced WCHA Rookie of the Week. And, yeah, so very, very exciting for Jimmy and our program. That's 2 weeks in a row where we've had the Rookie of the Week from the WCHA, and I think it's a 4-assist effort and a +3 effort on the weekend. You know, Jimmy's got a little bit of a high risk to his game at times, but you can also see what he brings. I mean, he's got good size. He's a tremendous skater. He's got a lot of offensive ability. We're working on him picking his spots a little bit better, but it was a very big impact. He's got very good vision with the puck and had a great weekend.
No, I wanted to talk about him. He's now 2nd on his team in scoring with 7 points. He had 4 points on the weekend, but the biggest play he made was at the end of the game when Perfetto scored the game-winning goal. He did what you gotta do there. He took ice. He saw ice. It was there. He went right up the middle. He took it. His shot got blocked, but Perfetto buried the rebound. That's a great play for a freshman defenseman.
Yeah, you sound like a coach on the bench. Take ice. You have ice in front of you. You know, use your ability, use your skating, and take ice. And Jimmy did a good job doing that. And the other part of that, we showed it today, obviously, in the film. The shot he put on net. Now, it got blocked, but he wasn't trying to pick a corner or go high glove or off the bar. Nice low shot, a hard shot to the net. It gets blocked, kicks right to Perfetto, and then Perfetto did the same thing. He didn't go in, try to pick a corner, overhandle it. Great release on the net, and you score a game-winning goal.
Yeah, it was big, and it 2 goals in that game that were really good like that. Well, all 3 of them were really pretty good goals, but Schmidt's and Perfetto's were like perfect, what you want to see.
Yeah, no question. Even Ciotti's, it was a net front scrum. Yeah. We had really good possession. We kind of worked on a D-to-D and our high forward coming high in that slot, which is what set it up with Domit's shot. Tomlin, that we thought had the game winner there. But then, you know, Chris is in a good area. Watching the film back, he gets engaged in a one-on-one net front battle. He doesn't allow his hands to be tied up. He kind of pushes his guy off. Schmidt gets a goalie jam on it. So, you know, we're doing some good things, and there's some work and there's some progress, and we've got to continue to do that day in and day out.
Well, you know, there is progress being made. I've got a few stats on that, too, if I can find them here. But this is stuff that you could attribute this to play. But I would attribute it more to time of year and how these guys are getting better every game. Early in the season, in your first 9 games, you lost all 9 of them. You had 15 goals scored for 1.6 per game. You allowed 36 or 4 per game. In the last 5 games, you've won 3, lost 2. You've scored 14 goals for 2.8 a game, and you've allowed only 16 or 3.2 a game. everything's headed in the right direction there. Now you could say, yeah, we played Tech and we played Notre Dame early and we've played Huntsville and Alaska lately, but it is a team that's improving. We're talking about big improvements in individual players here.
Yeah, well, there's no question, you know, and we had a big, big talk with our guys after Friday night. You know, we haven't handled success well, and there's only been small spells of success. But, you know, after that game, we told them, no matter what happens, it's never good enough. You know, we could be 10-0, coming off a national championship, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's never good enough. There's always somebody trying to find your spot or knock you off the stall or take your playoff spot. So it's never good enough. And, you know, our opponents lately is certainly a little piece of it. You know, we haven't had the same strength of schedule the last couple of weeks, and that's a small spot. Obviously a huge challenge. We've got a great team coming in here. Mm-hmm. It's a team that might be the most skilled forward group in our league, maybe in the nation, right up there, top five. You know, they're going to challenge us with their speed. They're going to challenge us with their skill, and we'll really learn a lot more about our team after this weekend.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about them. Minnesota State, Mankato coming in this weekend. Just go see them play. They're a very good team. They just beat Michigan Tech twice, close games, 3-2, 2-1, but they're good, and they've been good for a number of years in the WCHA. And who are the big guns for them? You just talked a little bit about how they play. They've got good forwards. Let's throw a few names out there people can look for.
Well, they got Gervais up there, very skilled forward, very dangerous, poised, can shoot the puck. LaFontaine's a dynamic little undersized player who can skate. Leitner might be the best for the league. You know, again, elite playmaker, elite skater. They've got a very good back end as well. I just lost the defenseman's name, was in their third or fourth in scoring. So, their team, and I talked to the Michigan Tech guys this morning as well, and then just asked about the series. What do we need to do to be successful? And there's not a whole lot of weaknesses on the team. Stephon Williams' net is right up there nationally with the league leaders. He had a great freshman year, struggled last year. He's back to his freshman year form. So that there's not a whole lot of weaknesses on that team. And that's why, you know, I like the fact that goals against is coming down, but it's got to come down even more if we're going to be successful. And this weekend it'll be a challenge for sure.
Well, there are guys who are, you know, we looked at it. We just mentioned that James Roll is second on the team in scoring now. Jason Bird's up there with 4 points. I think Aiden Wright's got 3. Freshman defensemen are learning to play at this level.
Yeah, they are. And again, I think from day one, I mean, to throw them into the situation, you know, Aiden Wright's a great example. I mean, you know, had the coaching change not happened, I'm not sure where he ends up playing next year, but an opportunity arises for him. You know, he tested unbelievable. He came in great shape, put himself in a position to be ready to earn some ice time. And then, he comes in and here he is paired with Chaplick in our top pairing, playing against top lines around the country. And, I don't think anybody would have dreamed of it. And, just a world class kid. I mean, he's the epitome of a student athlete. And so it's great to see him successful. And, I hate to call it overachieving, but he's done a great job. Anything we throw at him, he handles greatly. And so we're really excited about not only him right now, but where he ends up over the course of this year and moving forward. Same with Roll, Rance, Bird. I mean, you know, Bird's first weekend, I think before he got injured, we had him quarterbacking one of our power play units. And you ask a freshman coming out of junior hockey to quarterback your power play with the way teams pressure and the speed they have and seniors and, you know, Tanner, some of those Michigan Tech upperclassmen. And it's not easy. It's a very difficult thing. I think probably the most difficult position to transition to in college hockey. So got to give them a lot of credit. And, you know, Draplick's done a good job mentoring those guys. And, you know, Spratty goes in, he gets a little bit of time. But they haven't had a lot of vets to rely on back there. So we got to give them credit. And at the same time, there's been growing pains. And this weekend, once again, they'll be challenged with the team speed of Mankato.
Yeah, a couple of experiments this weekend, especially on Saturday night. You just mentioned Pete Spratty in there. You tried to use 7 defensemen, and you did a pretty good job of it. They all played pretty regularly. And the other big experiment is Zach Lesh on the left wing. How did the coaching staff look at that?
Well, you know what? He did an unbelievable job. You watch the film back and what Zach Lesh did up front. And, again, that's not good enough. We want more, so hopefully Zach's not listening and getting content with his role in a short time. But, you know what, really good. He's obviously a big, big body, one of our best skaters, so he can forecheck, he can hunt, he's willing to hit and mix it up physically. I think in our D zone, he brings a little bit of a D mentality, so he's very good defensively and responsible. Some of the puck management decisions he made, we've got guys who are been forwards their whole life that were trying to get, you know, put it behind their heel, chip it deep, don't turn it over, and it was natural to him. Big time shot, so I think when he gets more comfortable, we'll see some offense from Zach. So, he's really gone in and solidified himself in a really short period of time. And then we're excited to see where he gets with more reps at forward and video work. And, there's really a lot to be excited about with Zach.
Okay. We want to, we're at the Antlers tonight, every Monday night. The Laker hockey show is here at the Antlers. Chris Sabo is not with us tonight, but I'm sure he's got lots of things going on. You can check into the menu here, et cetera, at the Antlers and join us every Monday night at 6 for the Laker hockey show. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more on ESPN 1400. Alrighty, we're back at the Antlers on a Monday evening. It's a wet Monday evening this week. We've had icy, we've had snowy, now we've got wet this week. Action on the weekend, Bowling Green swept 2 from Bemidji State, 3-1, 3-2 at Bowling Green. Minnesota State Mankato, as we already said, beat Michigan Tech, the top team in the country twice, 2-1 and 3-2 in Houghton. Alabama Huntsville surprised Ferris State 3-2 on Friday night, but lost 5-2 on Saturday at Ferris. And how about Northern Michigan? That was a surprise to me. They eked out a 1-0 win on Friday night and then lost 4-0 to Anchorage on Saturday night. And they were kind of floating right along there, doing very, very well. They are, but they've got a lot of games in hand, too. Northern is one of the few teams that's two teams have played only 6 games in league play. Northern and Fairbanks are a University of Alaska. The Northern has 8 points, which is 2 more than the Lakers in the standings. The Lakers right now have 6 points on 3 wins, 7 losses, but have played 10 games. Only Lake Superior and Michigan Tech have played that many. And the rest of the teams have played 8, except Northern and UA, which have played just a 6 game. So things are interesting. It's always fun to look at the standings. They don't mean much right now, but they're like stats. You kind of look at them to see where you stand one time and then turn it around and go the other way. We have a lot of questions from the fans who are with us here tonight, which is great. Some of them we've already answered. There's one here about Zach Lesch, the converted defenseman playing forward, and how you thought he played. We've kind of touched on that. You thought he did a great job. Question here about Alex Globke. He did not dress on Saturday night. He was the rookie of the year or the freshman of the year in the league last year. Had a tremendous season for the Lakers, scored a lot of goals, played with Danny Radke and Colin Campbell. They're not around anymore, and he seems to be struggling with whomever he plays with. He doesn't have a lot of points. He did not dress on Saturday night, but he did take quite a hit from the big man, Pareko, on Friday night. Did he get hurt at all in that little fray, and why did he not play on Saturday night?
No, he didn't. And, I'm not gonna dodge a question, but since we just recapped last weekend, I'd be remiss if I didn't thank, the Pink in the Rink committee. I mean, a lot of people put a ton of hours into that event. You know, great fans coming out. It was a great weekend in our barn and a great weekend. So I really want to thank everybody who participated, Pink in the Rink, and helped out. As far as Al Globke, no, he got his, no injury on the hit. As everybody saw it, he kind of got taken into we call it turnbuckle. You know, Perioko wrote him off and he hit the side support off into the bench. But, he was fine. Like a lot of our guys, not a lot of our guys, like some of our guys, we have some guys not playing consistently with the habits we want to see day in and day out, the way we're going to play the game, the way you have to play the game to be successful. And we spoke with our team a week or two ago about Mike Babcock's comments after they lost to Ottawa 3 or 4 weeks ago. I think we talked about it briefly in here as well, but good things happen when you play the game the right way. And we need all of our guys. We need 20 guys right now. For us to be successful, we need all 20 guys playing the game the right way. And he's doing some good things. He's working hard in some areas, but there's some areas he's not doing the things we need him to do and everybody else to do. So, it's a tough decision because, like you said, he was a rookie of the year. And, you know, you don't win that game and there's people looking at you, what are you doing? And it can backfire. But I thought our guys who went in for him and our guys in general responded really well. So now it gets interesting, you know, who's Al beat to get back in the lineup?
Yeah.
Guys did a good job and that's healthy. I mean, we've got good competition. We've got good players sitting there saying, hey, I'm going to do everything I can to get back in the lineup. And he responded really well today in practice. He was working. He was hustling. He was playing with some bite and some edge. And that's good for our program if he's playing that way. So I'm sure he'll work his way back into it. I don't know if it's Friday or Saturday or when it is, but you know, a player with that talented ability will be back in, and when he's going, he's really helping that.
Well, you know, that's going to happen. You got X number of guys on the lineup. They're not all going to play. You can only dress 20 guys for a hockey game, 21 at home if you want to dress a third goaltender. But there are a number of key players. There are a number of guys who play a lot for this team who did not play at all on the weekend. Mitch Nardi didn't dress either game. Ian Miller played Friday and then did not play on Saturday, and he missed both games in Huntsville. So you know, Globke's not alone in having to sit out. If we need to have everybody going in the same direction, yeah. And some people aren't going to play sometimes.
Yeah, and once again, there's really nothing individually we can say about the, you know, Nardi in particular, Miller, Globke, but it's playing the game the right way. There's all knowledgeable hockey fans know, you play the right way. You take care of the puck. You put it behind D. You finish your checks. You play stick on puck. You stop and start, not loop and circle. So, you know, we've talked a lot about habits earlier. Our habits have improved in a lot of areas in a lot of ways, you know, in general and for the most part. But we have some individual players that we need to do a better job with. Got to, you know, do more film with them, show them what our expectations are, and then they have to take that coaching and that teaching and apply it so they can play every night. If they want to play every night, I think they know. I think it's pretty crystal clear what our expectations are. And it has very little to do with points and skill. You know, you might have two or three shifts a game where you have a chance to impact the game on offense, but you've got 18 or 20 or 25 shifts where you better be darn good defensively and take care of the puck and block shots and play physical. When you do that, you have success. And I think we really saw that Saturday night.
Yeah, and another thing about hockey, it's changed so much, too. It used to be, let's talk 1960s or 70s or 80s or something. There was no video to watch after the game so that coaches could break things down now. They might remember you didn't do something in a game back in those days, but now they can go back and search it out. And if you aren't doing what you're supposed to be doing, they're going to find it in that video and you're going to find out about it. And it's a great teaching tool. We talked about that last week on here. Where's Luke Sandler right now? There's a kid who has not played in the last four games and he hasn't played since Anchorage.
Yeah, and Luke did a good job for us earlier. I mean, if the fans remember, he's a big, strong kid. He skates well. He's one of those guys, his habits for the most part are pretty good on the ice. You know, he plays hard. He plays with edge. He brings a very much a well-needed physical presence to our lineup. Unfortunately, Luke is suspended for not living up to the expectations we have for our players away from the rink. And he's sort of on a indefinite suspension right now, and we're revisiting him, asking him to do some, you know, we talked a lot about habits on the ice. We're asking him to improve some habits off of the ice. So Luke's working on that.
Okay, we've got more questions from fans here tonight. One of them concerns Nathan Harris. He did not dress on Saturday, and he had a goal and actually played pretty well on Friday. Is he hurt?
He did, yeah. He took, I think it was off a block shot, so he had a little bit of an upper body injury. Tried to skate Saturday morning and just didn't have the ability to go and make a goal of it that night. It's too bad because he's coming off a very good game and, you know, he's done a lot of really good things. I think he has very good poise and a good stick at the offensive blue line. We use him on the power play because he has a dimension we don't have enough of back there. And so it's tough. You know, you want to get on a roll and you want to get confidence and then you get banged up and miss a little bit. So it's too bad that Nathan got injured.
Yeah, you mentioned Pink in the Rink, and that was this past weekend, and that is a big deal. There were so many balloons in that building. It was incredible. And a lot of pink in the stands, and it went very well. We had Chris Dunbar on after the first period on Saturday night, and she said it was just great. It was really well done, and the people who organized it did a great job and were very much involved. They think they did very well with the financial end of things. They have changed how they do things now. They have you ask. It's kind of like going to the to United Way. You get your group, and you ask for a certain amount of money to help you out with women's health issues, and then they'll dole it out that way rather than them making the decision. They'll try to go by you asking for things. And the other one that was kind of interesting, I thought it was a really good idea, is this year if you want a jersey, you could just get one. $75, you buy the jersey, you can get whatever number you want, whoever name you want on it, you get whatever size you want, and you get a nice, clean, brand new jersey.
No stinker.
I thought that was a good idea.
And there's some
you probably
snafus.
Sell more that way.
Yeah, you might, and hopefully that's the plan. But there were some reasons. You know, it was the committee again. Given that, you know, one thing I liked was, and I didn't get to see it on the ice, but the participants who were willing to donate their hair. I don't know if it was Locks of Love or what it was, but we had some people donate hair to cancer patients looking for wigs, and then they did a presentation on the ice of them, and I thought that was really cool. It was tough because the committee had no baseline to start from. I don't, you know, some of the logistics of it, there was nothing left when through the change and transition or whatever. So they started from scratch. And I mean, the man hours put in, the woman hours put in were really unbelievable. And so many people helped out. So it was really, really great to see how many people chipped in and helped out and made it a great event. And, you know, we learned a lot, you know, taking it over and learning. So we'll move forward and make some tweaks. And I think change is good. Anytime there's change, you can take the good and keep going with that and take some things that don't work and make some adjustments. So It's a great event to be a part of.
All right, we've got another question here or another comment that you can comment on, asking you to comment on the students and the noise they made, especially in the third period and on the overtime on Saturday night. They were quite noticeable in the building.
Yeah, I thought our student section's been very good. You know, now we get into a Thanksgiving weekend, so I'm sure it'll be tough. They're home and hopefully having a great weekend with family. But I appreciate their effort. I mean, our players certainly know when a student section in particular, but all of our fans in general, but you know, they provide so much energy and noise, and you know, and obviously they love the big hit, they're going crazy, and certainly goals are going nuts. So yeah, you notice it. I thought the energy in our building and the passion in our building was very good, and it's huge for our players. I mean, we feed off it. I mean, don't be fooled if people tell you they don't know or whatever. We feed off it. The opposing team, you know, they feel it, and it gives them pressure and anxiety. And so I thought it was really good. And you know, it's, I don't know that I wanted to get to overtime and wait for a win in overtime. I would have preferred regulation, but it certainly is a great way to win in home building, and then people will be feeling so excited and exalted. And like you said, our students were going nuts. So I thought they provided a great home ice advantage all weekend long.
Yeah, when you can hear it in headsets when you're doing a game, you know that it's they're making some noise, and it was very exciting to win that game, and especially the way we scored the goal. I still think that James Roll did a tremendous job there to take that puck and take it right to the net. They was open, go for it, you know, and then Stephen followed him, and that's the hockey game, and it was very exciting, and it's great to get a win, you know, and get a split on the weekend after not playing so well maybe on Friday night where you give up more goals than you might have wanted to. We've got a question about recruiting here. Rich Mitro is going to join us here in our third segment. We're going to talk all about the NLIs. We're going to name some names for you here tonight and where these kids are from. There's a question about power play. Now, I've got one on my list of questions here, too. The power play, we kind of switched it around again. We've been trying to retool that to try to find success. I thought a few times there on Saturday night it looked like it was coming pretty good.
You know what? We had some great looks, some really good looks. And, you know, one or two of them, Jason Bird had a wide open one-timer, mm-hmm. You know, and he's trying to put, you know, just a big time shot on net. We talked to Birdie today, like, Birdie, it just has to get on net. Doesn't have to be top shelf. You know, maybe when you're a junior, senior, we'll worry about that. But right now, get good wood on it. Good aluminum composite, whatever these days, but get it on net, shoot for a rebound. But we moved around well. One of our biggest issues on it is we're not a great face off team, and not just our centers, but our wingers and forwards helping out. But I don't know, probably 60% of the time we start with a lost draw. And all of a sudden, you know, you're down. Now you got to regain zone entry. And so being good on face-offs and experienced face-offs is a big piece of what it is. But there were some good looks. I mean, there's some things. There's some progress. We're starting to, you know, I think we really figured out that Draplick is where his best spot is, often his right time, one side option. Mm-hmm. Jason Bird, you know, we tried to have him run it early on, and I don't think he's as comfortable as he is off to his one-time side. So we're finding some spots where guys are good. You know, Bryce Schmitz obviously worked his way onto it. Zach McKay's got, I think, 3 or 4 goals in the season now. Two of them, I believe, power play. So he's a big presence net front. I could see Zach Lesh at some point maybe getting planted right in front of the net and using his big frame. And, you know, he's such a quick and good skater that he can retrieve pucks and win foot races. So it's a work in progress, no doubt. It's not where we want it to be. You know, there's some strides and some positives, but it'll continue to be a challenge, you know, as we move forward.
Okay, we've got a fan here who said that the difference in the win on Saturday night was blocking shots, in his or her opinion, and congratulated the team for blocking so many shots during the game. I think that's one thing that this team does a lot anyway.
Yeah, well, it was noticeable for sure Saturday night. Now we showed, I think, 3 or 4 of the blocks, and one or two of them were the hands and areas that hurt. I mean, it's not always fun to stand in front of that thing and, you know, take it wherever it's going to go, but that it's a the title we had was winning hockey. You know, to win hockey games, to be a winning team, to build for championships, you have to do things to sacrifice. I'm trying to think who it was. It might have been Matt. Gus Coryell was on all over our film today in a positive way. There was a 50-50 foot race where I think it was Tyler Morley was going to run Gus and hammer him as best he could. And Gus could have pulled off and not got the puck deep. But, you know, to win hockey games, you take hits to make plays. Gus knew he was going to get drilled. He took the hit, got it 200 feet, you know, and we got a line change. I think Patterson had a block. Gus had maybe 2 of the blocks as well. So it's what you do to win hockey games, and it's a mentality you have to have as a team to be successful. So I thought that was very positive on Saturday that we did those things.
All righty. We're going to take our second break. Rich Mitro is going to come in and join us. We're going to talk about the NLIs that have been signed, recruiting in general. We'll be right back with more Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.
With your host Bill Crawford on ESPN 1400.
All righty, we're back at the Antlers on a Monday evening, the Laker Hockey Show. Great crowd on hand with us here, and I tell you, that was a great win on Saturday night. They're all good to win, but they even surprised us after the game. We knew going into the season that if somebody scored a big goal, we were going to get them on the air either between periods or after the game, and then we all kind of fell asleep upstairs. We're waiting for Damon to come up, 10 minutes after the game's over, but we got Stephen Perfetto on instead, but Rich Mitro joining us now, and that's fun to win, isn't it? And and what a great goal for the game-winning goal.
Yeah, really. I mean, there's nothing better than winning, and obviously win's a win, but when you can win in overtime sometimes like that, it's even adds more to the excitement and the drama, but it was a big, big win and a much-needed win. So it was awesome that Stephen Perfetto bared down and buried it, and it was a great ending to the weekend, I guess.
Big celebration afterwards, too. We finally get to ring that victory bell. We're here to talk tonight now with Rich about the recruiting effort. And I'll tell you what, this guy's been working hard because they've got 8 kids committed right now. Not all for next year. There are a couple of them here that we're going to talk about who won't be coming for another couple of seasons. There may be one that's even longer than that. Let's talk, Rich, about some of these guys. And, I'll give you a name and you tell me about him and what kind of player he is, maybe where he's from, and why we got him to play, and we'll start with the guys who are going to come in here, we think, next year. The first one would be Gage Terrell.
Yeah, Gage is he's playing out in British Columbia right now. Last year he played in USHL. He's a Minnesota kid. He's high skill, compete level off the charts. I think he's putting up some pretty good numbers, and Pete saw him out there early and kind of watched him, and all the rest of us kind of watch some video and stuff like that, but he's going to be a really good player here down the road. And a lot of guys knew him, Matt McCardle knew him from before and when he was HL, and he's a dynamite player that should really help us offensively.
Okay, what position does he play and how big is he?
Well, he's not overly big. He's probably around 5'9", 5'10", I'd say, but he plays pretty big, and he's a forward, obviously, but he can play all 3 positions. He's pretty mobile.
Okay, and he's good with a puck, I hope. I take it. We have Brian Basilico.
Brian Basilico is a Detroit kid. Actually, he was up here at our Bantam camp probably, 4 or 5 years ago. And I actually coached him in that. But he's another one that actually Damon, knew him from before when he was out in BC. And he's a big kid, power forward. He brings the puck to the net a lot of times, and he plays with the presence, and he's a world-class athlete as well. I think he had multiple, 2 or 3 different D1 college offers for football. He was a quarterback, and, so he's gonna be one to probably watch, and I think he's got a huge future.
Yeah, and he's one of the ones who committed right away, too.
Yeah, he's about 6'2", 6'3", but I remember him as clear as day, and it was funny because we had a really good team that year at that Select Festival here at Lake State, and we ended up winning it. We went like 4-5-0, and when the name didn't ring a bell when he came in on his visit until I saw him, and he's like, "Hey," he goes, "Didn't you coach me in that thing?"
Yeah, I remember you.
Yeah, so nice kid. Yeah.
Okay, the next one is Anthony Nellis.
Yeah, Anthony Nellis, he's actually a French-Canadian kid who plays up in Pembroke, Ontario right now in the Ottawa League. And it's another one he's exciting to watch. He quarterbacks their power play up top. He's a forward. He plays all 3 positions as well. He's pretty versatile. The kid can score goals. He's got a rocket shot, and he makes plays. And, he's going to be able to step right in, hopefully, in the lineup next year and contribute right away. And we're looking for big things out of him. And, hopefully that's what he can do.
Yeah, he sounds like a good player. I'd heard about him a couple of weeks ago when you were talking to him. And who would he compare to? If you had to compare him to somebody that's played, whether he played for the Lakers or played for somebody else that you were with, who would he be like?
It's kind of funny because he's pretty high skilled. Like he's probably more going to be more like a Rick Schofield type of player, where, Rick wasn't a fantastic skater, like per se, but his hands and his vision and his shot were really, really second to none. And he kind of, for me, watched him. He seems like he's kind of that type of player. And I would say, Rick Schofield was pretty good here.
Oh yeah.
Rick Schofield. If he could be Rick Schofield, we're going to be in good hands.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, you mentioned Matt McArdle a few moments ago. What position does Matt McArdle play? How big is he? Where's he from?
Matt's actually from Maryland, I think, but he played, I always say, from Shattuck. He was there at Shattuck St. Mary's in Minnesota for about 5 years. Played there, so he's been, you know, coached heavily there, and he's a defenseman, right shot. Been around 6 foot, I think 6 foot, 6'1", and, he's a great skater, fluent skater, really smooth, you know, with the puck and, without it. More of a defensive defenseman, but, you know, I think there's, you know, maybe something more there with him. I mean, he's just a very good, skating defenseman that's gonna makes a good first pass. He, highly intelligent. He's not only good on the ice, he's really great in the classroom as well. And, like I said, he's playing in Fargo right now in the USHL, and he does a great job. So I think it's a kid that's gonna probably be able to step right in as well and do a good job for us right off the bat. So.
Good. That sounds good so far. We've got a couple names I just love. Broadcasters love names, but, Colin Sackelman.
Yeah, Colin, he's an interesting kid. He's playing, for Shattuck St. Mary's again for the prep team. I think he's the captain of the team. He's a right shot defenseman. Big, thick kid. He's in great shape. You know, he's got a lot of bite to him. Everyone that talks about him says he's got a real good edge game, and he's a really unique kid. He actually, he plays the fiddle, which is pretty unique for a hockey. And his mom, raises horses and stuff like, so he grew up on a farm, and, he's a hockey player for sure. Like, it's in him. You talk to him, and he's all about hockey, and it's a great addition. I mean, for us to be able to land a kid like him right now, you know, is pretty good. And you know, he had a few different offers, and he decided he came up here, him and his mom, and he loved it, and he said this was the place for him. So he's around 6 foot six as well. I think he goes about 185-190 pounds, but at 17 years old, that's pretty good.
And he's a young man who won't join us next year. He'll probably be here a couple years.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably a year out. I mean, he's drafted by Waterloo in the USHL. He'll probably go there and play. I mean, he's pretty high end, so I think he'll be he'll probably a year away, but he'll be a good player when he comes in.
Okay, the next guy, I just can't wait to have this guy in the lineup so I can say his name a lot. Diego Cuglietta.
Yeah, Diego,
I love this.
He's got a great name. He's another kid. He plays out in British Columbia. It's funny because.
Does he have a sister named Dora?
When he came up on his visit, he, come to find out, he's actually has a few relatives and stuff over in Sioux, Ontario. So he's got a bloodline over there, and, he was pretty excited to get up here and kind of see some of his other relatives that he hasn't seen in a while. But no, he's very offensive. I guess everyone you talk to, you know, when you talk to your players on your team, sometimes they kind of know exactly, you know, who's good, who's not, or whatever. You'd like to get a little bit of information. And everyone says, man, does he, he's really, you know, gets after it, which means like he hounds the puck. And it sounded like some of the defensemen on our team didn't really like him because he got in their face a little bit. He hit him quite a bit and puts up good numbers. He's, you know, another skilled player, but he works extremely hard and he goes to the hard areas, and he's a really good kid. Like we spent, you know, the whole day with him and then some on his visit, and we took him around town and even took him to the Big Bear and just took him around different places, and he was just all in. He loves hockey, and he's an enjoyable kid, and he's do good things here for sure.
All righty. Sounds exciting, and he is coming in here next year. Ian Johnson.
Yeah, Ian Johnson. He's a young kid. He's another one. He's 97 birthday. He's a senior in high school, but he's probably one of the most highly touted 97s, age group in all of Ontario right now. And then some. He puts up big numbers in Ottawa. He's playing in Kanata. And, you know, he's one of those kids. He's special. Like he gets a little bit more, size to the frame that he needs to be. He could do some really good things. And there was a lot of teams on him, and, Pete did a great job, you know, getting him to come up here. And, obviously, you know, for him to commit at such a young age was huge, but he, you know, he's putting up big numbers against, you know, 20-year-olds in that league right now. And he's going to be a kid to watch down the road. Whether he comes in next year or the year after, he's going to do some really good things. He's offensively gifted. He scores goals, sets up plays, and his hockey sense is, you know, probably above and beyond most kids at that age for sure. And so, I mean, I think it's going to be not overly big. I think right now he's right around 5'11". I shouldn't say overly big. I was only 5'10", but he was fine. So he'll be good.
Yeah, he sounds like a good one too. And, he was here, what, about a month ago when he,
came up? Mom and dad. And he actually has a brother that's, a year older than him playing juniors right now. He's a goalie. And obviously they like to get the two up here together. But, you know, they're a good family, and he's really a gifted player.
Okay. We've touched on seven of the kids who have signed NLIs with Lake Superior. The last one is one that a lot of people heard about. He's playing in Sault, Ontario. And, you know, I think it's just great. We're looking at Sault, Ontario kids a lot again, and we've got Aiden Wright on the team now. Owen Hedrick is going to join this team either next season or the season following.
Yeah, Owen, he's, you know, he's a special player as well. I mean, it's too bad that he had, he hurt his shoulder. I think he hurt it in the USHL camp this summer, and then he ended up having surgery on it. But he's playing for the Thunderbirds right now, and he'll be back probably in a month or so. But he, you know, we went over and saw him this summer. He was skating with Teddy Nolan. Teddy was running a practice with a lot of the pro players over there. And, you know, obviously, you know, when you're 17 years old and you can step into a pro practice with, you know, Jordan Nolan and, Kennedy and, who's the other one on defense? There, Trevor Daly, and there was a list. There had to be 15 NHL guys in that out on that ice, and he stepped out there and jumped in some of the one-on-one drills, and you were amazed how good of a skater he is. And he's grown in. He's a, you know, a little thicker kid now, taller. You know, I guess he was kind of short and a little bit on the smaller side before, but he's blossomed a little bit, and he's got a great frame. And you know, I think there's the type of kid. I don't know. You know, whether it's going to be next year or whatever, but he's got some high-end offensive ability, and he skates extremely well, and he's got a little nastiness to his game. He's a tough, so, you know, I think there's a great puzzle, and, you know, hopefully down the road, there's our quarterback to our power play.
Yeah, it sounds good to me. It sounds good to everybody here. In fact, a lot of these kids are very good offensive players, and that would be a big question: is do we have playmakers? Do we have guys who have stick skills and can handle the puck? And you're saying, yeah, we do.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of what we're looking for right now. I think, you know, you try to build your team accordingly, and this and that, and what are you lacking? And I think, you know, we have some, you know, good skill players in our locker room right now, without a doubt. But anytime you can add some of these guys like this, and you know. No different than when, you know, Colin Campbell or guys like that. You see the upside in them, and, you know, hopefully they can go on and do better things in the NHL or whatever. But, you know, for us right now, I think, you know, skating and skill and obviously a little bite to the game is always a welcome presence.
Yeah, no doubt about it. This is the early signing period, so we have eight who have signed national letters of intent, not all coming in this next season, but they'll be coming in the next couple of years. And there's another signing period. There's one in the spring, too, in April, so you can pick up more players. Is there a plan right now at this point to go after more and try to get some more guys for next year?
Well, I mean, you're always looking. I mean, I think that's kind of the, you know, the whole mindset is you're never off the job. I mean, it seems like it's, you know, basically it is now. It's, you know, 65 days a year recruiting just because you want to make sure you're getting the right guys and the best guys out there available that can come in. Now, if there's a need down the road here for us to, you know, whether it's 2 years down the road or a year or next year, and that kid's available that wants to be a Laker, I mean, yeah, for sure, we're going to try to go after him. I mean, the whole object of the game is to get better and win. So, I mean, you know, if that kid's available and, you know, he wants to be a Laker, that's probably what we're going to do.
All righty. Good. Sounds good to us. We love it. Good job, Rich.
All right. Thank you.
All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be back for a final segment right after this on ESPN 1400.
ESPN 1400.
Alrighty, we're back for the final segment of the show tonight. We've got only a few minutes left. Boy, this show goes by in a hurry every week. Seems like it moves faster each week, Damon. But Rich just talked about eight young men who've signed national letters of intent to come and play at Lake Superior State. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you a little bit about a couple of them. We don't need to mention them all because Rich ran through them, but are there any real special kids for you in there in that bunch?
Well, hopefully they all become very special. And, you know, it's about relationships. So, you know, sometimes as a head coach, you get, you know, to know these kids very well. But Rich and Pete are kind of the front porch because they're out identifying in the main relationship. And, you know, for me, so I appreciate their effort. I think they've done a great job. They're dedicated. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about wanting to play a relentless brand on the ice. I mean, these guys are relentless in the recruiting. And that's what you have to be. I mean, it's so cutthroat. It's so competitive, and I give them a lot of credit. They've you know, sacrificed a lot with their families and time away from town, and do a really good job, you know, on the phone all night long. So I'm very, very pleased with you know, their efforts out there, their ability to not only identify the talent, but then get to know these kids and establish trust and a relationship and sell our vision of what we're doing and what we have to offer these kids. So they've done a very good job. And, Rich mentioned a couple. Diego is relentless. You know, Nellis shoots to score. Basilico is a great athlete, big, strong kid. So a lot of good areas, a lot of guys. Owen, you talked about. Owen has a chance to be a special player from our backyard. So very, very happy overall. I wish we could talk. I could talk about them all individually, but we've done that already, so we'll move on. But
yeah,
great job by Rich and Pete in this first recruiting class. And, like Rich said, we're always trying to get better. You know, I don't care how good we are. We want our current players to control what they can control and just be the best they can be. And they never have to worry about it. If they're getting better, if they're working, they're dedicated, shouldn't matter what happens. And then their job, Rich and Pete's job, is to go out to get the best players they can get. So we're always taking a step and building this to where we want to go.
Yeah, it sounds good to all of us who are here tonight. It's very positive. And coming off a positive win, we've got a real tough opponent this coming weekend. Minnesota State, Mankato, we've talked a little bit about them, who some of their big guns are. I remember LaFontaine and Gervais from last year. They're pretty good players, and it'll be a tough assignment, but it's the kind of thing we want to play for. I think our guys will go right after it, and hopefully we'll continue to play like we did on Saturday night and have some luck here against these guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, hey, it's a game you want to be involved in. You know, you get a top 10. They might be, you know, top 5. They should be top 5 by the time they get here, with sweeping Michigan Tech, the number one team in the country. I think the number one in the pairwise.
Yeah.
So it's a great challenge, a great test. That's why you come to a school like State with this history and tradition to play in big time games. And, you know, it's funny. I meant to look at the WCHA's record versus the Big Ten. And, you know, I know some people think of some of those schools and those brands, but our league has done a phenomenal job this year to have the number one and number two ranked team in the division. It's early, and that'll change and adjust, but it's great hockey, and it'll be as good of a team as we see all year and over the next couple of years.
Well, the WCHA pairs up very nicely against the Big Ten.
Yeah,
I have seen those statistics. We have them every game. Pat has that every Friday night,
okay.
So we know exactly what they are. Let's talk a little bit about some special stuff going on this weekend. We do have something for veterans that's going to happen this weekend.
Yeah, no question. This Saturday, November 29th, it's Military Appreciation Night. So any veteran or active duty officer or serving member is a free admission with a valid ID. So Saturday night, we'll get to show a little bit of appreciation for those who serve for our country and, you know, give us the opportunity to do what we do here. So it'll be a nice night that way. We do have on board now Laura Ansel in our marketing and ticketing department, and Laura's came from the Toledo Walleyes in a minor pro setting that they do an unbelievable job of marketing and you know, promotions and all this stuff. So we're just kind of chomping at the bit this summer to have more time to sit there and
yeah,
set our promotions in place and do a better job of, putting together packages and groups and all this stuff to keep building this brand. So we talk a lot about it. It's so hard in season to get some of that done with her coming on board late and us worrying about some other things. So I think moving forward, it's an area we really want to push on and do a better job at to get our brand out there a little bit more. I think people are seeing when you come, it's entertaining hockey. I mean, we're going to play and we're going to get after it. And, we'll leave people smiling at the end of the night, more nights than not. But it'll be a good night to come watch some hockey.
Two good crowds this past weekend. Of course, Pink and Rink draws them in. It'll be tougher this weekend. We don't have students on campus. That happened to us about 5 times last year, I think. Every time we played at home, we had no students here, but, we're kind of used to that. The fans will get out, though. These people who are here with us tonight will all be there, and it'll be great hockey. Yeah, Minnesota State is a very good team.
Yeah, no question. I mean, like I said, it'll be as good of a team as we face all year, and, it's exciting. So we hope people come out, and the Military Appreciation Night certainly on Saturday is a great event. You can get fat and full on Thursday night and sleep it off and come out to the game, and we'll get you up out of your seats hopefully a little bit for some things to cheer about and yell about, and work off that turkey dinner.
Well, we were going to get into talking about goaltending here tonight, but we're flat out of time. Your goaltenders did a good job this weekend, though. Struggled a bit on Friday, maybe, but Pete Magariotis got a chance to play. That was great. He did a good job. And Gordy Dayfield was out Saturday night.
Yeah, had a very strong game once again, coming off maybe one of his weaker performances the previous Saturday. So it was good to see him bounce back. And, Kevin didn't, I'm sure he's not happy with the night he had, and it's funny, we talked to him Saturday morning after it, and he felt like he had a great week of preparation, and he did, and that's why he got the start. said he felt so dialed in warm-ups that he just felt so ready to go. And then, you know, that early goal happens against, and it can just get to you a little bit. So he'll bounce back, and he was good today. I liked his pushback today and his effort today. So we're getting a healthy competition going on there, and that's good for our program.
All righty, Damon Witten, thank you for being here tonight. Thanks to all you great fans for being here. We appreciate that. And Rich Mitro joining us, and we'll be back next Monday night. Another edition of Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.